Welcome back to Black Friends Dinner. I'm your host, Nandi K, your Black non-binary bae. And I just made that up in the shower today, guys. So I hope you like my intro. And I'm here with my friends. I'm here with Miss Erica Davies, a Bronx bred. Sorry, guys. I just ho laugh at everything. Erica Davies, a Bronx bred Blasian. Try to say that five times fast. Writer with a penchant for macaroons and sneakers. Yes. Yeah. And Akil. Akil is an overcultured and undereducated Blasian from the Bronx, lover of food, fashion, and art. Allergic to nuts, but always ready for one.
Yes.
Talk about an intro, guys. So we're back again at Black Friends Dinner, a table about everything Black, good for your body and good for your soul. Today I made a, I made a little soul food dinner. So we're going to have some fried fish and fried shrimp, some black-eyed peas and rice, some green beans with lots of pork and potatoes, yes, cornbread, honey. It's going down over here. I love soul food. I'm Black American. I'm from Jacksonville, Florida. And just like soul food is just like kind of what you have on holidays. That's what grandma makes. My mom was kind of a little off the beaten path when I was like 10. She tried to be a vegetarian. Ooh. And we had to do it too, which in the South is crazy because like then on Thanksgiving you eat chitlins, right? So like it was real weird. But now, especially since I don't live in the South anymore, I've been living in New York for like almost 8 years now, and I be missing it. I'm like, it's hard to not be able to just get it whenever you want from anywhere. Like,
and there aren't that many good soul food places. No.
And I am the toughest critic. I'd be like, no. Why are these greens sweet? Why are you putting sugar in it? Like, they shouldn't be sweet. Like, the sugar is just to take the bitterness out. Like, who did you learn this from? Like, this is fraudulent. But it's nice that, you know, I can cook, and I call my mom for recipes all the time. For my grandma's recipes. No shade, Mom. I call her for my grandma's recipes whenever I'm making something like oxtail. I always use my grandma's recipe. I love making oxtail. So I wanted to ask you guys about, first I'm going to talk a little bit about soul food. So obviously soul food is from the southeast part of the United States. From like Black slave culture and Native American culture. It's common in areas with a history of slave-based plantations, and it's super popular among Black Americans, not just in the South, but even like in the Midwest, even in the Northeast. Everyone eats kind of the same kind of soul food if you are Black American heritage. So I wanted to ask y'all, what is soul food to you both? And like, who makes it? And like, how does it make you feel?
So I talk about this with my family a lot, actually. Like, what our favorite foods are, like what our comfort foods are. Because mm-hmm. to me, soul food is comfort
exactly.
food. It doesn't matter exactly. what culture you come from. It's the food that makes you comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it's noodles. Like, mm-hmm. I love noodles. I have a section in my, I have like three sections of noodles in my kitchen. I have some in the freezer because you have to have the fresh ones, the fresh handful.
Yeah,
noodles.
And those go in the freezer.
Exactly.
Wow.
You gotta keep them fresh. And then I have like the dried fresh ones. And
right.
then I have like the ramen.
Yeah.
You know, not like top ramen.
No. Oh. Shady. I'm like, mine is top ramen. I'm like, I have a top ramen section and I'm not ashamed.
Oh, no. My grandmother would slap me if she saw that.
Right.
But yeah, it's like, it's noodles and soup and stuff like that. And it, like, honestly translates into Italian food also.
Right.
It's like mm-hmm. pasta. Like,
yeah.
I love pasta.
Pasta's the best.
Pasta.
Yeah.
Oh, mm. God. Yeah. So who makes your favorite like dish? Do you have like an at-home dish that someone makes? Or do you make it?
I mean, It's interesting because that's my specific comfort food, but really anything that my mom makes for me is my comfort food.
That's
because
real, yeah.
You can just feel the love that she like puts into her food, and like she's literally nurturing my body with love, which is like such a ridiculous
so
concept, you know?
I love your mom.
So that her food is my comfort food.
Yeah.
You know? Anything she makes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would probably say it's the same for me too, like noodles. Because my mom told me that when I was little, like the very first like food that I remember latching onto is pancit, which is it's like Filipino chow mein.
Mm-hmm.
And it has like chicken, you throw some egg in there. Mm-hmm. Bruh, like every
right.
You're gonna come home with like a giant plate full of it, maybe have some like lumpia there. Mm-hmm. I make my own now. I use
You make your own lumpia.
Yeah, I prefer
yes,
like veggie because I feel like it stays for longer.
Yeah.
But definitely like spring rolls and noodles are like my go-to, or anything like rice, like a silog, which
I
is
love
like
rice
a egg and something else in the morning.
Oh my god,
got to.
Rice is
that
my
is
shit.
The best
egg and rice.
Egg and rice
what?
And like
maybe corn
sesame oil, and a little bit of like rice wine vinegar and some soy sauce. Yes.
Yeah,
I love rice.
Good.
Rice is one of my favorite.
Rice
things.
Is life,
so
yo. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Okay.
Now some people don't like rice. Our producer Sean doesn't really care for rice that much, and like
I just
they just don't really care for the texture. I think it's like a texture thing, right? Yeah,
I've heard that from a few people, and like I don't know, just like I don't know.
See,
I can't see that because like culturally, like. It's just
rice is.
Rice
I could
is
literally eat
everything.
Rice and something
like
every day.
Risotto,
yeah.
Like risotto. I had risotto when I was. Well, this is probably also why I had risotto when I was like in Croatia at this really fancy restaurant, and I hated it. It's basically like glorified uncooked rice.
It is.
Like,
it is.
It's uncooked.
It
I had
is.
Rice at a restaurant in France that was swimming in water.
Listen.
I asked for rice sofa. I asked for cooked rice.
This is some bougie black shit. Y'all hear this? She said risotto is glorified
uncooked
rice. And there you have it, folks.
Where's the lie, though?
None. No lie. No lie detected. So we are shooting this fresh on the heels of Halloween, and so it's time to talk about Black people's favorite subject, blackface. The collective sigh. So this section is called Today in White History, and obviously blackface is a part of white history, and we are never more aware than Halloween, whether it's people getting mad over not blackface, like that guy who dressed as Powerline, who is literally a dog, okay, not blackface, to everyone's conservative bestie, Megyn Kelly, saying, back in my day, blackface was okay as long as you were a character. She was almost immediately fired.
Yeah, and all of her sponsors dropped her too. Yep.
Thank you, NBC. Even though, you know what y'all did? Y'all literally pay her more money to get two black people, Al Roker and Tamara Hall, off the air.
That had the best ratings out of every hour on Today, if I may add.
Can I just say that Al Roker has been on the Today Show for my entire
life. My entire life.
Wow.
The nerve. And then for NBC to act shocked.
Yeah.
And then have Al Roker on to speak on it.
Have Al Roker on to drag her. But everyone knows Al Roker is the safe black man. Nobody's scared of what he's going to say.
Look.
He's like old Don Lemon. Like
Don Lemon before his ear piercing.
Basically.
Okay.
Basically. So just in case some of our listeners don't know the history of blackface, I just, you know, wrote up a little something to educate the people who refuse to use Google. So for more than 100 years, white and also black folks also took part in blackface. Performers wore dark makeup, creating not only a popular theatrical form, but stereotypes that we still have today. Blackface represents a kind of strange mix of envy and fascination and desire in film. So there's blackface, which is when a white person paints their skin black. They usually did it with like oil or something disgusting, burnt cork,
shoe polish,
grease paint, shoe polish, to appear black. And then the minstrel show is when black people participated in the same way. Okay, so minstrel shows started in the 1830s. It became almost the most popular form of entertainment in the United States when black people started taking part in this minstrel show, where they would often play, like, you know, pretty demeaning characters, really uneducated, big pink lips, you know, very exaggerated features.
Watermelon colors.
Yeah, exactly. Probably one of the most famous minstrel show, minstrel performers to come out of vaudeville was Burt Williams, and he went all the way from vaudeville to Broadway as a minstrel performer. And people, you know, obviously they're asking, like, how could he do something like this? How could he live with this? And a reporter who knew, who did a study on him, said that he was really melancholy about it. He knew it was necessary for his career, as all other black performers knew it. And so even though people think it's harmless, that's kind of the scary part about it, right? Is that some people think it's completely harmless. That's huge, that is funny. And that's like the biggest danger that there is. Like, it's also like where Jim Crow came from,
right?
You know? So there's all these really devastating, results or consequences from blackface. It created these stereotypes that we're still low-key trying to shake right now.
Yeah.
And so I'd love to get you guys' take on not only blackface, but y'all are biracial. People love to, if someone else says they're wearing a kimono again, I swear to God, I'm like, honey, that is not a kimono.
It's not. I don't know. I mean, blackface is never okay. Like,
yeah, never.
Full stop.
Right.
Full stop. Blackface is never
okay. Blackface is never okay.
Or like, and it's interesting because like...
Aubrey.
It's interesting because like you see, there was the... it was the D-squared party that happened in Milan. 4 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Where there was just, like, a bunch of Italian people. Well, okay, back up. Italian people have a very fucked up relationship with Africa in general.
Yes, they do.
I mean, we could talk about the history of, like, Eritrea and Ethiopia, mm-hmm. but that is a conversation
right.
to itself. So they have a very different view of race, and I think that blackface is still part of their culture.
Mm-hmm.
So when people showed up in blackface, it wasn't, no one thought about it. But then the pictures came out, and the world was like, no, you know, because...
Right. Especially with the relationship that they have with the continent,
right.
like countries that they've encountered.
Right.
You would think that...
They would think twice.
But white people didn't.
Because white people have never had to learn from their mistakes. Like, that's
yeah.
not... That's... Accountability does not come into play with privilege. That's just
right.
not... That's not how it works.
Right.
You know? So... What in terms of blackface, like if they see us perpetuating it, it's just like the word nigga. Like you
right?
can't say it in a fuck. It's not okay ever. You can't say it in a song.
Right.
You can't say it because your black friend said it was okay to say it. He had that black friend has no authority over all black people.
Thank
That's
you.
Not how it works. We don't go to meetings and decide and appoint representatives.
We sure don't.
Like that's just not how it works.
I also feel like it gets a little bit more complicated when you dive into, like, blackface as being done by other people of color. Like, for
right.
instance, on, like, certain... I don't remember the name of the TV show, but there was an instance, I think maybe, like, last year in China, where there was somebody on TV, like, in blackface, but it wasn't necessarily supposed to be something, like, negative.
Right.
I guess they were like it was supposed to be
trying
like
to
something...
live their life as a black person,
right?
And
it was
like
to, it wasn't supposed to be like a negative commentary. I guess it was what the show was trying to say, but at the
mm-hmm.
same time, too, like I just kind of feel like there's no way around the world that you didn't know that
right
doing that is like incorrect, but it also feels weird to like kind of have that conversation with myself, I guess, as like an Asian
mm-hmm.
person, like
right.
okay, how do I approach this as somebody who is you, but also the person that like you're targeting, or like the person
right.
who is like.
Well, do you feel like as someone who is Asian that like there's a lot of times where someone's gonna like put on a kimono and like someone's gonna do okay. I saw a performance on Fire Island
mm-hmm.
recently in September. Where there was this queen who came on and did a number that was Chinese
mm.
from Crazy Rich Asians
mm-hmm.
in a kimono.
Ah.
Dress as someone who's Japanese. Ugh. And I was just like looking around and one of my friends was just like, this is racist,
right?
Right?
Yeah.
And I was like, absolutely racist. You know? So, I mean, like, how do you feel like as an Asian person that because Asian people are the model minority,
yeah.
it makes it okay to perpetuate false stereotypes?
Honestly, I don't even think so. And, like, I didn't really think about that until maybe a few months ago when I joined this.
No, like, not personally okay.
Right, yeah.
But just, like, people think it's okay to do that.
Oh,
you know?
Do people? Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. I think so because it's, like, Asians, for I guess, like, white people see Asians as, like, they're the closest to, like,
yeah.
being white, even
mm-hmm.
though they're going to be quick to tell them, like, yo, you're still yellow, you're not white. Hold
exactly.
On. You know? Like,
it's okay. They still bring home that yellow check that
yeah.
got more green on it than you, my nigga.
Yeah.
Yeah, Asian people are out-earning every... They're actually the white people of the country. It like
yeah.
and they know it, but they're okay keeping it to themselves, and I fuck with that. They're like, nah, we're cool. Shh.
I don't really blame anyone because like it's also different when you're like if you're Asian, being Asian American is like very different than like
right.
being an Asian immigrant. Because even if you've been here
oh,
for a long
course.
Time, there are like certain things that you're just like.
Well, because when you're Asian American, you're a banana. You're not
right.
you're
I'm
not
dead.
Actually Asian. And that's what they talk about in Crazy Rich Asians.
That kind of
a
sucks.
Banana.
Like,
holy shit,
like,
what is
what
that?
Like,
oh, you've never heard that before?
No, please
yeah.
inform
yellow
me about
outside,
that.
White on
white
the
inside.
Inside.
Or like a Twinkie.
Yeah.
Like an Oreo for black
yeah,
yeah,
people.
Yeah,
get
exactly.
out.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You learn
yeah.
something new every day. OMG. Wow, never heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah. I mean, it's something that, like, I mean, it's different. I feel like it's weird because, like, it's different. Maybe it's different for us because,
yeah.
like, not only are we American and Asian, we're also a different skin color.
Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm.
it's just, like, it's, and there's obviously a spectrum of skin colors within Asian culture, but
mm-hmm.
there's also the same systems of oppression.
Exactly.
You know, because
it's still
everyone,
a colonial.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Everyone takes from Western culture, and Western culture has taught Eastern culture.
Yeah,
white is
it's
right.
the ideal, right?
Yeah. That's a shame because rarely is it.
Oh,
yeah.
And
yeah.
we just look way better than that. Like, let's
oh.
just be real. Like,
well, of course.
Like, physically, like, we're just completely superior.
Why are you tanning, bitch? Because you want to look like me.
That's right. Why is your skin falling off? Because you tried to look like
exactly.
me.
Why do you need wrestling?
Asian
yeah, Asian don't raise and black don't crack. I'm going to be 12 for the rest of my life.
Yes. Amen. This episode of Black Friends Dinner is sponsored by Kasvari Made It. Black-owned, women-owned, handmade greeting cards, books, enamel pens, and mugs straight to your door. Find them at Kasvari Made It on Instagram and at KasvariMadeIt.com. So we just had dinner.
It was so
it
good.
It was amazing.
So good.
Amazing.
I'm so full.
Yeah, we
oh
all have the
God.
Itis.
I just, I can't.
It's
delicious.
Like, it was, yeah.
I literally, like.
It was godly.
It was godly.
Truly.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Amen. So, now that we're nice and full, It's time for us to get to the, you know, the dinner of our dinner. So today's episode is called Black and I'm sitting here with obviously two fantastic biracial self-identified Blasians. Peace sign. And like, I'm, you know, Black and a woman, Black and non-binary, Black and gay, Black and, you know, so there's a lot of Black and often Black people, especially in the queer community, are told that we have to choose whether we're going to be Black or be this other identity. So, today I want to talk about being Black and I want to first start with obviously the hardest question, interracial relationships. So, just a little bit, I don't know if anyone saw it, but HBO did a miniseries called The Loving Generation, and it's about the Supreme Court case that overturned all laws outlawing interracial marriage. It was huge. Now couples who have been dating in secret, married in secret, or facing like any kind of harassment, now they can be themselves, they can be free, they can be in public. And so obviously, as like a consequence or result of that, more Black people and white people started getting together. So HBO does this documentary, and a lot of people we know are on it. Melissa Harris-Perry, who's one of my faves, Soledad O'Brien, Rebecca Walker, just a lot of names you know. And I first want to talk to you both kind of about your upbringing as biracial people, as people who are Black, and just when it comes to race right now. But also, I mean, shit. Well, we'll get to that part. Of like, you know? But I'd love to kind of hear about like growing up in Black, being Black, but also being Filipino or Chinese. Or...
Well, for me, it was a little different, I feel like, because my dad died when I was really young. Mm-hmm. So I think that my mom tried to overcompensate by teaching us a lot of Black culture and teaching us a lot of Black history and stuff like that. Like, Middle Passage was like a coffee table book that we had on our table.
That's a Black elite coffee table book. Like, if your family's woke, y'all have that book.
Right. Like, we had that. I mean, like, we knew who the Schomburgs were, you know? Like, I can't think right now. I'm so full. We read Langston Hughes and stuff like that. We knew about W.E.B. Du Bois. We knew the history, you know? And I think that she did a really good job of that.
Yeah, of course.
My family history is complicated, but it almost felt like it was to the detriment of my Chinese upbringing.
I was going to ask that.
Because I present more Black than I do. I obviously present more Black than I do Asian.
Right, yeah, sure.
So it's made it harder for me to connect with my Chinese heritage as I've gotten older.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in terms of like family gatherings. It still blows my mind. It's just like, it's a bunch of Chinese people and like me, like I'm obviously Chinese, but like I'm Black and Chinese.
Yeah,
so like,
right.
I'm like, see me right in the picture, like I am right there.
Yes, honey, the Black sheep.
Exactly, literally.
Indeed.
Literally. And I'm like on the creative track and stuff like that. So it's just like, there's so much that's like, I mean, speaking in terms of like being a banana and stuff like that, you know, like it's all like inherently linked.
I just learned what banana means, y'all. My mind is blown.
I think that my mom did a very good job. You know,
yeah.
I don't speak Chinese, but that's a product of my dad, ironically, because my dad didn't want there to be a situation where he wouldn't be able to communicate with a babysitter or something like that.
I see.
Because my mom was going to get us a
Chinese
babysitter.
Right.
So that so that she wouldn't have to worry about talking to us in Chinese, but that's her laziness, whatever.
Dead.
I love you.
you understand Chinese, though, probably.
Not really. I mean, really? A little bit. When I'm, like, when I was just in Taipei,
right.
Like, I pick it up, like, easily, yeah, because I'm immersed in it mm-hmm. all the time, and, like, everyone who I'm with is speaking Mandarin. Mm-hmm. But not really. I don't really know it. I mean, you know Tagalog, right?
I can understand it, but I can't really speak it besides like just simple phrases.
Yeah.
Like, good morning, how are you? Like, you look great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I can
the obligatory relative phrases.
Yeah. I could do that's sort of what I can do. But like when I was in Taipei, like someone was giving us directions, and I like understood where to go. I was like, "All right, word." Like now I know.
Wow.
So it, like
that's
it comes,
amazing.
it comes back. Yeah,
it comes if you're
back.
There.
And my sister speaks Mandarin. She lives in Shanghai,
cool.
So I mean, she speaks Mandarin, and she understands some Cantonese. They're different dialects,
right.
But she understands some Cantonese because she knows Mandarin.
So, guys, tell me how your parents got together. I think, especially like around the Loving generation, I think. Your parents are definitely older, I think. Are
I don't
they?
Know. How
my parents are older.
I think, yeah,
like,
I think her parents
my
are
older. Parents turned 64 this year.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how'd they get together?
So my mom and my father actually met when they were teaching at the University of Lagos in
mm-hmm.
Lagos, Nigeria.
Mm.
And they
awesome.
Were both
yeah.
like in the program. And I guess that was like how they got together. And it's funny because I'm really terrible at math.
They love
and
it.
And they're very good at it.
Breaking
very
stereotypes.
Amen. And fulfilling them all at once.
Yes. Yeah, and then I think that they decided to like leave after teaching there for like 2 or 3 years. And then like, I think they said they settled in Jersey. And then they came to the Bronx. And that's where my mom's been like ever since.
Damn.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy to think that she's lived like more of her life in the U.S. and like in
wow, yeah. What about your parents?
They met at a Christmas party at Chemical Bank before Chemical Bank was Chase.
Was this in New York?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're a real New Yorker.
Yeah, a true fucking unicorn.
Born and bred.
Yeah.
They both work there?
Yeah, they both work there. He was like in-house counsel and she
yes.
was a paralegal.
Yes! I love that story.
And then I think he like pursued her for a while and she was like, no.
Yeah. As she should be. Your mom's fabulous. She should definitely. That's exactly how she should
but
be.
She always told me, she was like, I thought he was really handsome, but like, I thought he was trouble. So.
That's right.
mm-hmm. So yeah, then, then the rest is history.
Yeah.
Adorable. So. So that was real cute and sweet, but the real question is, what do y'all think about interracial dating, interracial relationships? Do you do it? When you do, what are the issues you find?
So I feel like it's pretty, like, silly for me to be, like, I'm against interracial relationships because I'm
proud of one, right?
But, I mean, I'm for it, like, for myself. I went through this phase, I mean... I guess when you go to school with, like, a bunch of, like, white kids.
Yeah, same.
Like, I went through that phase,
yes.
You know what I mean? But
very
like,
short and quick for me.
As soon as I left high school, I was just like, wait, I, like, don't need to do this. And I'm like, brown guys will like me because, like, I'm brown too. Not just,
right.
Like, there's no white girl to choose from or whatever, you know?
Girl,
but,
you
know,
better
I,
preach.
I actually, like, I would be for interracial relationships. Why not? I mean, if a person gets it, then... they get it. That's what I care about. Like,
right.
No matter what you are, just like understand my struggle and like respect it. And if you can truly do that, then like I'm here for it. I don't,
yeah.
It doesn't matter what you are.
Thanks. Akil.
This is such a loaded question.
Oh, I know. I couldn't wait for you to answer this. Because we have had
many
a chat over this.
About this.
We've
yes.
had many a chat about this.
Oh, I'm feeling very attacked right now.
I'd be like, Akil, don't be letting those white men defile you.
Don't let them colonize your body.
That's right.
Okay.
I don't really feel that way. It's fake. That's the thing. It's like, it is pink. That's not a lie. Like,
it's not
an exaggeration. It's like the pink chick episode of Broad City. I've had pink meat in the past, and I was just like, I don't like the color.
All right, so I obviously date interracial.
Yeah, of course. I think we probably all have, right?
Yeah. I think that dating my most recent ex was a very eye-opening experience for me because he's the first person who I've dated, I think, as a more fully formed man of color.
Mm-hmm.
So not like having conversations about like rice cookers, you know,
right.
Like, cultural things like that, like not having to explain an interaction that I had with someone. It was really nice because it like took pressure off of the relationship.
Yeah.
You know, like, and it gave you room, and it really gives you more room to find out who that person is.
Yes.
You know? I don't know. I also think that, like, I don't know. Because I just went on two dates with two white guys. Like,
yeah, no, of course. So, like, how I feel is, like, it's great. I'm so glad you mentioned the whole, like, thing about never having to explain.
Yeah.
For me, that is, especially in the times we are in now, I cannot be dating someone who I have to like justify my experiences to, right? So when I have to like explain why it was bad, when like Google is free for everyone, you know, and like if you're of another experience and you're going to date someone like me, someone like from the super, super margin who's like... It's like, I need you to, and I'm obviously very vocal about it. Like, I have a good amount of white friends, especially for this economy, who are fucking near and dear to me. Like, when I tell you, like, I would die for them. But it's not easy being my friend, being white, if you're caught up in that and you don't, if you can't see what my experiences are. Like, my white friends, literally, if someone says, like... They have, like, my friend did a whole thing with these, a bunch of different kinds of women, and there was this trans woman who was straight trying to bully her when they were having, like, a conversation about what if we didn't have labels, you know? Like, just a hypothetical, and this trans woman was like, well, I like my labels, and you're trying to tell me, like, really, like, jumping down, like, my cisgender woman friend, white cisgender woman friend's down her throat, like, and I'm like, but first of all, hypothetical. Second, like, you're both white women,
right?
So, like, think about like if, and my friend just like boohoo cried, like she really thought she did something wrong. She was like talking to all of us, like, okay, so how can I like respond better
to
this? Like, ripped up inside, trying to do better, you know?
Yeah.
But I can't be like. In my relationships, like, I feel like I couldn't date anyone not black, at least right now. I couldn't, but for other people, I mean, I have plenty of friends who have white partners who I think are fucking dope. They're like my friends, they're fucking amazing. They don't get mad when they can't be a part of stuff.
I wonder if this has anything to do with my being gay and a man as opposed to like queer and a woman, you know, like because within the gay construct, whiteness is not, it's like, it's more sought out. It's like, I don't know how to explain it. There, obviously within all culture, whiteness is what is desired. But within gay culture, it is even more so. Like,
agreed, yeah.
Because it's really,
especially for gay men.
Yeah, it's like, hard. It is really, there was a long period of time where I did not have any gay men of color who were my friends. Because there's competition.
Yeah.
You know? It's
there can
literally
only be like one.
It's like carnal affirmative action. There can only be one.
Yeah.
You know?
It really is like that.
It's crazy.
That's insane.
It's really, really, really crazy. And so I feel like it's almost like when you were talking about like them, like men liking you for like being a woman of color, that's not necessarily true in the gay community.
I don't know. Fetishization, though, is...
True.
Oh, but you mean men of color. Yeah, but I think we can probably... But I think women also deal with, like, not feeling wanted by men of color.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that that's not an issue. I think that that's definitely...
But definitely, I would, yeah.
But I think it's different within the gay community.
Very different.
Because men of color don't necessarily want men of color.
They don't.
What?
Yeah.
They don't. Ooh, girl.
Yeah.
Honey.
Oh, yeah.
You don't even know.
Oh, and within the Latin community? Oh.
That makes me sad.
Yeah.
Right.
It's really, it's very different, you know? So.
Yeah.
So I've had to really break myself out of, like, wanting white men.
And
I have
to keep saying
it.
I have to keep saying, listen, Akil, these white men, they're not here for you. They just like, you know, the idea of, like, a brown person. So they can be like, I'm not racist. Like, I fuck this brown dude, like, all the time.
Well, now my thing, like, when I, like, if I'm, like, on an app or whatever, mm-hmm. or, like, I go through a guy's Instagram,
right.
like, if you don't have friends, if I don't see friends of color
yeah.
regularly
like,
in your Instagram,
yeah,
like,
then, yeah.
then there's
no
way that this
yeah.
is happening. At all.
Nah, that's very wow.
You know?
Yeah, that's
like,
good.
That's my check. Now.
I mean,
like I go through their
valid,
Instagram.
You know?
Super.
Because like, if you don't hang out with people of color, how are you? And you don't like seek out the information. How am I supposed to know, or how are you supposed to know, like what other people of color, or like what people of color go through? Because
right.
like,
right.
you only know from like a specific like pool, or maybe like one person. One person doesn't represent like. A lot of people.
Right.
Right. Like, black people aren't a monolith.
Right.
And like,
right.
so they don't speak for, there's no, like, when people are like, Kanye's man, I'm like, Kanye, no. that nigga don't speak for me.
You know?
He is done.
Not at all.
Absolutely not.
I'm like, he does
not,
not speak for me. So, with that being said, I would love to bring up this other, like, thing, and it refers to, like, a lot of biracial black people, a lot of, like, educated black people, being black enough. Even our own president was questioned for not being, you know, black enough. And, like, even I've experienced it, and I'm blackity black, you know? But I talk a little different. I mean, I feel like I'm a little more legible in my speech than folks from my hometown. And my mom even says I talk like a Valley girl. She's never been to the Valley. but... People used to be like, you act white, you talk white.
Oh, yeah.
I can only imagine what it's like growing up biracial. What do y'all think about this concept of being black enough?
It sucks to feel othered on, like, both ends.
Yeah,
truthfully.
Absolutely.
I think that's what like,
yeah.
that's a really, like, the real question. Like, do you, like, where do you fit in? Or, like, how do you figure out where you fit in? Because I don't really feel like I was crafting my blackness until I was, like, maybe like consciously I'll say like 10 or 11 because that was when I really like understood that like there's a difference between like me and like the rest of the world because I went to this program called Prep. I don't know if you know like
no I'm not
prep kids,
it's a feeder program.
Oh, okay.
It was great. I mean, it was great having the opportunity to be
yeah.
around like white people because that's like the
they
world
have
that
the
I'm
best
in
shit,
now,
right?
You know what
yeah,
I mean? And you learn how to code switch,
yeah.
you learn how to like navigate, but it sucks when like you're too black for like fully Asian friends, and then like sometimes because even if I fully identify as like a black woman, like some black women will tell me that like I think that I'm better than them because I'm like half, you know,
right?
And like I don't, or
right.
they'll say like, oh well, what would you know? Like somebody told me one time that I wouldn't know what it's like to be called the N-word because I didn't look black, and I was just kind of like,
I just want to say for
and
the record,
weird, you know,
to everyone listening, Erica. At
I
least
black,
to
y'all.
Me, it looks very black. I would never think she wasn't a black woman. Maybe some would say she got that good hair. But I wouldn't really say that. I mean, I think
I
we're way past saying that,
yeah.
right? We're not saying good hair anymore.
No, all hair
but, like,
hair.
Let me
right.
tell y'all, Erica is black, okay? Erica's for sure black.
Yeah, it's terrible. Have you ever felt, like, othered, Akil? Like,
well, I mean, it was weird because for me, like, I went to private school, like, from the beginning. I don't really know anything other than, like, white people. So I didn't really start crafting my blackness until, like, after college. Mm-hmm. Until, like, I was, like, 24, like, 25, mm-hmm. you know? Because my whole world was so white. It was completely white. I didn't even, like, my concept of blackness, like, I don't even know. I didn't have one.
All right.
Mm-hmm. It was just... I don't know. And then it was weird because I was called not black enough by white kids. So it was like, it was weird because
that
then.
Happens.
But in reality, like,
right.
You're black for you to be quantifying my own blackness.
Right.
Just
exactly.
saying.
Exactly. And it was just like, it was just weird because it's like, you're not black. So as young children, They're already
right.
claiming
that
to
you are
know,
not black.
Exactly, to know what blackness is.
Yeah,
exactly.
And you're not it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Holy fuck.
Exactly.
I can't imagine a white person telling me that I was not black.
Well, they weren't. Well, I mean, I guess they would say, they would like make a joke. They would like make a joke about
you're
it.
Not really black.
Right, but you're like,
yeah,
you're
yeah.
not really black.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So when they, right after they say something racist.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So like, speaking of blacking up, I just want to bring up my boo, Cardi, Barty Gang.
Barty.
So I've been seeing a lot on the socials that like, Cardi B is not black. Right. And so let's say I didn't, quote unquote, know that Cardi B didn't identify as black until maybe like the past 6 months. Right. Until this video came out. To me, she another one who looks black. I've been living in New York for a while. She's black. Like by New York standards, she's black. By where I'm from in Florida standards, I think she's black. But a lot of people are like, Cardi's not really black. Because she identifies as Dominican and Trinidadian and not really black.
Then that's like invalidating Caribbeans, honestly. And all Caribbeans are black, bro. I don't know. Or like, maybe not all. That's like way too much of a blanket. But like a majority, like 90% of DR has African roots.
Right. But
these are
obviously people. These are obviously people who don't know the history of like Hispaniola.
Exactly.
But some of them do though.
That's like
but that's ridiculous then. Because
yeah.
there's no way that
But they're saying because she doesn't claim black, right? So my argument is always the world sees her as black. Like the way that Cardi B moves around the world is as a black woman.
I think she's
viewed as black.
Yeah.
I think that the experiences that she has the industry that she's in, like, all, like, she moves around as black. Like, society sees her as black.
Mm-hmm.
Like...
She even says that she is. Like, she said in an interview, I forgot, like, what magazine it was with, but she said that her father had explained to her and her sister as kids how, like, colonization affected the Caribbean and how, like, slaves were brought over there and that they have like they probably have slave ancestry and she even said I think like something like almost verbatim like if people don't see that I'm black then I don't know what to tell them because like that is what I am
come through Cardi
you know
like, yeah people were saying she shouldn't be saying the n-word and I'm like what are you saying she's
black.
Black Cardi B is black if somebody called Cardi B a nigga she would fucking feel that shit.
Yeah, she would.
Let me tell you, Cardi would fucking feel that shit. Any Hispanic or Latinx person would understand, I feel, for the most part, unless they really, like, consider themselves white, like, would understand what nigga meant. Now, I don't think Hispanics should be running around saying nigga.
Just about to bring that up, because you and I have had conversations about
I don't
that.
Think that people who don't identify as black should be saying nigga. I'm going to be very, like, straight up on that. If you don't identify yourself as black in any way, like, don't fucking use the N-word. Straight up, I can say it, and I say it all the time, especially around white people, because I wish you motherfucking would. I wish you was. This nigga said, this white dude said nigga behind me the other day when I was getting off the train. I turned around so fast. He was like, not you. I'm sorry.
Not Not you.
I just stare. I gave him the stare of death. Okay.
Lord,
he got the stare of death.
The audacity of privilege. Jesus.
Bruh. I was just like, you have some nerve getting off in the Lower East Side just screaming nigga like you're crazy.
Oh.
What?
My God.
So, this is one of my favorite Hotep questions. So, are you black first? Because we're talking about black and, you know, I'm black and gay and a woman and non-binary. Like, am I black first? Like, where? My brother, my sister, where do you hold your blackness in your heart? Do you hold it before the gay? After the gay, before the Filipino, after the Chinese?
I don't know.
Choose, yeah.
I think that's, it's interesting because I feel like I have this question posed to me a lot more as a gay man than as a black man.
You better preach right now.
You know, like, it's whether or not race doesn't even come into it, really. It's if I'm gay first, period. And I find that to be a really interesting question, only because, like, while, yes, I do look black, I definitely present as gay. Mm. So I wonder if people see me as gay first or if they see me as black first.
Or,
that's interesting.
Plot twist, do they see you as a black gay?
Well, I only wonder that because people think in a binary. You know?
Yeah, so that's why I wanted to bring this up, because, like, as someone who identifies as, like, non-binary or gender non-conforming, like, I talked to my bosses about how I thought they should post something on their social media channels about the government trying to erase trans people. And, like, I guess they didn't know I was non-binary. They had a really great response, but they were like, do we need to have a meeting about your pronouns? I'm like, girl...
You know, no. I love oversensitive white people.
And, these are like white gay women. They're like white gay women who own their own company.
Oh, so good.
Women own, gay own. It's like, you know, I'm low-key in like queer art heaven. That's my boss is Filipino. Like, it's dope. It's super dope. So like, but to me, I'm like, I can't like shut one off and be like, I'm like the loudest black gay, like anti-racist, like anti-white. I'm all those things, like all at once. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like I can compartmentalize those pieces of myself. So I always think it's funny when people ask me, like, and someone actually did ask me that, like, are you gay first or are you black first? First of all, nigga, I don't want your dick. Okay. And second, I'm all those things all at once. Like, it's not like right now I'm black and not gay.
Right.
That's very true.
Or it's like I only celebrate Kwanzaa or like Black History Month.
Kwanzaa started by
like
the feds.
like Filipino American.
Right.
Also, like, I literally have the Philippines on my body, so I'm never not going to be a Filipino.
Right.
I'm gonna be that way for a reason, you know? It's like kind of weird that people so force you to choose.
Fuck my body. That shit's in my blood.
That's amen. Listen.
Fuck that.
Both.
Yeah,
both.
Exactly.
All both and. It's usually a both and. That's why binary sucks.
Exactly.
Yeah, but the thing is that like people don't even understand what like gender nonconforming is and stuff like that. Because anyone who doesn't just wear male clothing is gender nonconforming. Like, you are breaking the binary. You are going outside.
If you wear a skirt and you're a cisgender male, you're now gender nonconforming.
Exactly.
But what if you're like, okay, this is probably going to sound like a stupid question, but what if you're like...
There are no stupid questions, just stupid people.
Amen. A word.
But what if you're like, if you ID as like a heterosexual woman, but you like to wear men's clothes sometimes, but are also like...
You're still gender queer though, because
it's not really about how you like. It's like we didn't say like we were black. The world said we were black.
Right.
So like you're like you identify as a cisgender like woman, but like the world identifies you as a mask of center woman. because you wear men's clothes, because it all relates to what the binary is, right? So like the binary is male and female. So if you're a cisgender woman who likes to wear male clothes, like you're mask of sinner. And it's not because you chose it. It's because that's what they, like the world chose kind of to label you. All right. So last but not least, it's only right that the guest brings dessert or tea or maybe a little white wine. For dinner, you know, can't show up empty-handed. So this is a segment where our guests today, who are Akil and Erica, tell us about their best, you know, she met, white people hating on black excellence, white people trying to stop black people from being great, white people hating on black people from being great. Really anything about white people where they're kind of upset or they did some shit that you need to air out. So I'm really excited to hear your stories.
So I guess the thing that immediately comes to mind was 2 weeks ago when I had worn this like mustard yellow dress to work with like a side slit. And I thought it was cute. It was like work chic, you know what I mean? I work for like well-known like fashion magazine company and like people dress to the nines.
Yes, of course.
So I walk through the doors to go upstairs to the cafeteria, and Becky and Kathy or her other friend Susan were all talking about the elevator, and then she just like looks at me and with the most shocked but also like grossed out look just goes and then like looks me up and down. And then just, like, stops talking to her friend. So I just smile at her and keep walking. And she keeps glaring at me as I walk away. Because I can see her do it. And I was just like, why are you mad, girl?
Body. Like, you body.
Right? Too. Exactly.
Two words. She can't do it. That's why she's mad. Becky, you can never look as good in a mustard yellow as someone who is the color of bronze, sweetie. You literally pale in comparison. Yeah, I love when white women be hating on black women's bodies. They be like acting like they're appalled, but really they're just like, oh my God, Becky, look at her butt. It's so big. It's so round.
Out there.
How do I get that from Pilates?
I love Pilates.
Pilates is yoga on steroids.
It's so good.
It's very good for you. All right, Akil.
Mine is actually also from work.
Always at work.
It's just, and it's not even a specific, no, it is a specific scenario. So we had, there was a board meeting that came in. First of all, the board is all white men.
Shocker.
Like 90% white men. Old white men. And They already have an air of entitlement with them.
Yeah, of course.
But I shit you not, not one of them introduced themselves, asked my name. I think one or two said thank you a few times.
Mm-hmm.
And me and the other receptionists are literally running around like bringing them food.
Of course.
Like doing, like getting them water, like doing the things that they need done.
Right.
And it made me feel like being a server again.
Ooh, girl.
Like, and it made me feel like nothing I did mattered and nothing that I did would ever matter.
Mm.
You know? And the other receptionist, we just looked at each other and we're just like, this is
she black?
Yeah, she's a Oh my God. This woman, oh God.
Aren't they just
love you.
Like black women are the best, aren't
she
they?
She is so fucking dope. She's this she's a woman from Brooklyn. She like has a daughter who goes to like school like right by the office. And she is just a ray of sunshine. And she calls me baby and sweetie. And I'm like,
Oh my god.
Black woman calling you baby.
Listen, I swear, I just feel like they hugged me. It almost makes me tear up. Just to think about a black woman calling me sweetie or baby.
How you doing, baby?
I'm like, oh, melts. I'm like, When a black woman gives me a compliment, it's literally the only thing I need for the rest of the
day.
Like,
your heart's just so full.
You know? Yo,
because it's said with love.
Yes.
And black women don't be lying neither.
Exactly.
No,
exactly.
We just want.
Which is why it was so nice,
yeah.
Because it's like in a day full of like awful whiteness.
Right.
She was this ray
she was
just
amazing.
Black excellence. I was like, you are doing it. You are raising your daughter in New York.
Yes, honey.
You live in Brooklyn. Like, you're doing it. Like, you
Amen.
Are. You are just fantastic.
You know, black women, they really need a break. They've been working too hard, you know.
Too
yeah,
long.
For too long.
For too long. Black ladies need a break.
Mm-hmm,
absolutely. So, that was,
Girl.
I have a women's episode coming up, and I have some fabulous fat black women I'm gonna
yes!
have on. That I just, like, cannot wait to, like, really like just fuck everybody's body
yes.
issues in the ass and be like, yo, like, really, they're way finer than you, so I just want you to all know that you're all ugly in comparison to them. But I want to thank my guest, Miss Erica Davies, and the Akil Spooner for joining me today.
Thank you for having
thank
us.
You for having us.
Dinner was delicious.
Yes,
was so
we're gonna
and
dig into this
tasty.
Cake.
Yes, chocolate Chinese cake.
Yeah, we're going to have this Chinese cake that Akil brought us. But tune in next time. I'm Non-DK, your black non-binary bae. And this is Black Friends Dinner. Black Friends Dinner is produced by myself, Non-DK, and Sean Dawson. Audio by Sean Dawson. Opening music by Leonidas.